Welcome to the home study course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute. The course deals with brief interventions for anxiety disorders with children and adults. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Tracy Catherine Appleton. I will be the narrator of this tape. I am a co-author of the course and am currently in private practice. This course was developed with input from social workers, marriage and family therapists, psychologists, and mental health counselors. The purpose of the course is not to review the assessment categories of anxiety disorders. I feel there is a preponderance of material available on how to decide if your client is anxiety disordered or not. However, this tape will focus on interventions with both children and adults who have anxiety disorders. When a case study is given, if the concept seems to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn the tape player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. Periodically, questions are asked. These correspond with the questions in your answer booklet. The answers to these questions are found at the bottom of the page in your answer booklet. Merely write the correct letter on the blank line that precedes each question. Keep in mind, there is nothing trick or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify your playing of this tape. Each of these questions is included on the tape as well as in the answer booklet, as mentioned earlier, and it sequentially deals with the section that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate answering of each question, you might read a question prior to listening to that section. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you answer a question, read on to the next, in order to give you a heads up to listen for the answer. For the purposes of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapist or mental health professional. However, don't let this term deter you from applying the concepts to your situation. When you hear therapist, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapist cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your actual title is, for example, school counselor. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client to the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. We will discuss the intervention techniques of the cognitive model, overcoming resistance to learning, keeping brief therapy brief, assisting your client to distance himself from anxiety, guidelines for asking specific questions, techniques to explore the questions of what's the evidence, what's another way of looking at it, and so what if it does happen. Also, we'll discuss how to help your client to break the vicious cycle of anxiety, cognitive mapping restructuring, and ways to raise client self-confidence, as well as a visualization technique to use with a child suffering from anxiety. To make sure we're all on the same page, so to speak, let's start with Beck's 10 Principles in a Cognitive Approach to Anxiety Disorders. This provides you with a checklist of strategies and concepts. You will get the most out of this listing of 10 principles if you have one or two anxiety-disordered clients in mind. As each principle is explained, rethink your last session with that client. Is there one of these basic principles you have either forgotten or are overlooking? Sometimes we become so familiar with the principle, we don't see the forest for the, well, you know the rest. So, here we go. Fine-tune your recall skills of your last session with an anxiety-disordered client. If convenient, write down a few clients' names upon which to focus as each principle is discussed. Principle number one is the cognitive model. The use of this model is helpful because people want to make sense of their emotions, agree, and find it helpful perhaps to perceive their emotional problems as falling into four general categories of anxiety, anger, depression, and pleasure. A patient or client's numerous complaints can usually be placed into one of these categories. For example, a complaint about jealousy, loneliness, shame, guilt, shyness, procrastination, lying, or indecisiveness may well be a problem of anxiety management. During the first interview with a client, I'll call Joe, he said he was having trouble with his fellow workers. He had trouble sleeping, trouble in making decisions, and in telling the truth. After listening to the details, I realized that Joe's problem was how to manage anxiety primarily and anger secondly. This redefinition of his problem was helpful in and of itself. Once Joe saw that his problem was related to anxiety management, he was ready to accept a cognitive explanation of anxiety. Once Joe had grasped the idea that his misconstruing of his experiences had led to his anxiety, I encouraged him to develop a systematic way of catching and correcting his thoughts and his anxiety. I will go into more detail later about this intervention of catching and corrective thinking. Just a reminder, of course, check that medical reasons for the client's symptoms have been ruled out. Another technique to define anxiety for the client, I'll explain how the way the client appraises the situation determines feelings and how this appraisal is related to earlier learning experiences. A good example of this to tell the client is a person who has never seen a particular poisonous plant will not be afraid of it. Only after he or she has learned to associate it with danger will the client perhaps become afraid. I find it effective to point out that what the client really fears are his feelings and sensations often. I then describe the two basic levels of fear. The first level of fear is from a primal danger source. For example, a fear of a threatened disease such as cancer, heart attack, or for example, fear of an accident, fear of public humiliation, suffocation, drowning, and so on. However, the second level of fear is actually fear, as you know, of symptoms of the anxiety itself, rather than fear of a danger. Inability to overcome the first danger exaggerates the second level and leads to a panic cycle. While a client cannot always immediately overcome the first level of fear, he or she may stop frightening themselves over the anxiety itself. In the first session, I like to give the client some concrete ways of handling the second level of their fear, which is fear of the symptoms themselves. We'll talk about these later in the tape in much detail. Principle 2, cognitive therapy is brief and time-limited. Of course, we all know that due to third-payer coverage and limited client finances, often our therapy has to be brief. Long-term therapy is sometimes undesirable with an anxiety-disordered client. Brief therapy discourages the client's dependence on the therapist, which is prevalent in anxiety-disordered clients. Brief therapy also, as you know, encourages self-sufficiency. Frequent reassurance from the therapist prevents the client from thinking for himself. When the client sees that the therapy is short-term, I find the client often begins to realize that anxiety is a problem that can be overcome quickly. Specifying a certain number of sessions puts the client in a task-oriented frame of reference for getting down to business. As you know, as I mentioned earlier, the reality of third-party payer coverage for brief treatment also is the limiting factor here. I find since time is limited, each intervention needs to have a purpose and a rationale. I like to think of this as hurrying slowly. Cover important material, but more quickly. The following are some general strategies for keeping treatment brief. Ready for these? Number 1. Keep it simple. The abundance of theories about emotional disorders enhances the human tendency to complicate problems. Do you agree with this one? I find it very, very easy to complicate a client's problems, but difficult to simplify them. A good rule of thumb to keep in mind here is, no matter how complicated a client's problems may be, a therapist has it in his or her power to make it even more complicated. Complicating the problem definition and treatment process prolongs treatment. Number 2. Make treatment specific and concrete. I find the more abstract the conceptualization and intervention, the longer the treatment. The way that I accomplish this concreteness is by keeping the language relatively free of abstractions, and it helps to move the therapy along. For example, instead of referring to the four basic emotions as anxiety, depression, anger, and euphoria, I use the terms scared, sad, mad, and glad, and try to always aim for the lowest level of abstraction. Number 3. Stress homework. As you know, homework gives your client the best chance of getting better fast. Specific homework assignments will be discussed later. Number 4. Making ongoing assignments. Most of the information that I need to make proper intervention decisions is obtained throughout the treatment. Number 5. Stay task relevant. I can easily go on a tangent with an anxious client who usually wants to avoid discussing his or her fears. Agree? If the client insists on such discussions, I of course point out how it distracts the session from his or her aim or goal in the sessions. Number 6. Look for ways to use therapy time effectively. Now, this is an obvious one, but depending upon the client, of course, some of the methods are setting and sticking to an agenda for a session, providing written handouts on standard materials, or using posters or illustrated strategies and techniques. Number 7, and this is the 7th way to keep brief therapy brief. Develop a brief intervention mindset. I find that by assuming that a client can learn to manage his or her anxiety quickly, that this mindset can create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Thus, the client feels he or she can manage their anxiety quickly. And idea number 8, this is the last one on how to keep brief therapy brief. Stay focused on manageable problems, if at all possible. Because cognitive therapy is time-limited, many clients' problems may remain unsolved at the end of the treatment, as we know. By the time the treatment ends, ideally, the client will have enough psychological tools to approach and to begin solving his or her own problems, knowing that the therapist is available for added sessions if necessary. So there you have it, 8 ways to keep brief therapy brief. Let's go to question 1 now. By utilizing an abundance of theories about emotional disorders, this enhances the human tendency to do what?